previously on Love and Justice.
Tammy, you're officially on the line with Sean.
Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Sean. It's nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, ma'am. I don't subscribe to the word closure. The fact is that we can resolve cases. We can solve cases. I don't want to be critical of Milwaukee PD. They've missed something, and that's why that case is unresolved. The fact that she shot in the face is significant to me. That's a personal thing there. Witness-wise, should we be going back now and re-interviewing those people? Absolutely. We should go back and talk to every single one of them. Everybody.
Good luck with that, because some of them won't.
How important is it for you to have access to the case files, especially in a case like this?
Extremely. Extremely important. I mean, to have the case files would be obviously a tremendous asset. I don't know if y'all have thought about like a FOIA request or anything like that.
All the emotions, like you said, are coming. Part of me is afraid. Part of me is mad as hell. Part of me wants to cry. Part of me, it's everything. Just looking at a picture of Ashley, and I'm like, yep, for you, Ashley. For you.
Welcome to Love and Justice. I'm your host, Kyle Olson. In episode 2, we introduced Sean Smith, a cold case detective and special agent with over 38 years' experience in solving cold case homicides across the country. I worked with Sean and the production team to send out over 18 FOIA requests, as well as specific requests to the Milwaukee Police Department asking for them to release the case files to Detective Smith. Today, the results are in. Hi, Sean. Hi, Tammy.
My heart is just palpitating right now. Like, oh my God. Like, what did they say? Like, oh my God. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to dive right into it. After our talk with Sean, I worked with our team here, and we sent out a lot of requests. We sent 3 requests directly to the Milwaukee Police Department asking for the case files. We told them that we had partnered with Sean and that we wanted him to take a look at the files to see if he could help. We also sent out 18 FOIA requests to local, state, and federal agencies, all in the interest of getting any information back. And as if that wasn't enough, we also sent out 30 formal written requests for the case files. Many of our requests actually received a letter back informing us of that agency's decision, but here's the punchline. Every single request was denied. The only thing that we received back was an incident report from the Milwaukee PD, which basically tells us the victim's name, date of birth, and the time of murder. Nothing we don't already know. This is obviously by no means the news we were hoping for, but Sean, what is your take on all of this?
Here's the thing, and I will tell y'all just across the board, generally this is the way it goes, is they've got a case that's unresolved. So technically, the case is still open, is what it should be.
And my thinking is, I didn't think they would give you anything. I really didn't. I think they're, do you think they know who did this and but don't have enough evidence? That's why they won't release that? Is that a possibility? I don't know.
It's possible. Look at every case with optimism. With today's technology, the ability to solve old, unsolved, or unresolved cases, I think is better than ever. We've got new testing out there. We got new ways of doing things. And as long as your evidence is preserved, you can use that. Now, what do we always hear? We hear people say, well, with time, memories fade.
Right.
Okay. I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But I can also say, if you're involved in a homicide, you're a close friend of the victim, you're a family of the victim, you're associated with the victim, you saw what happened, any number of things, right? If you're mm-hmm. connected to that case at all, you may not have been willing to talk to the police then. It's been 10 years. Maybe we're more willing to talk now. At the time of the murder, they may be in fear of retaliation. They don't want to get involved. Maybe their lifestyle at the time, I don't want to get involved, you know, because maybe their lifestyle wasn't the greatest. 10 years later, we've changed.
Sean is getting to a larger point here. A point more important now that all of our requests for files have been denied. If we are going to figure out what happened to Ashley Love, we really have to know who Ashley Love was. In the criminal justice world, this is known as a victimology, and it is considered the bedrock of any investigation. We may not have the case files or any evidence that we can look at, but we do have access to a whole lot of people that can help us understand Ashley's victimology.
You have to find out everything you can about Ashley. And that, I believe, at some point will give you an answer. Because what are we looking for first? We're looking for motive. The opportunity is there, right? They came in a door and knew exactly where they were going. But what is the motive?
Right.
You have to know everything you can possibly know about your victim. Everything, every detail. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. You have to find out everything you can about Ashley. If they start bringing it up again.
That does a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
Who was Ashley Love? To find this out, we are going to talk with some of the people who knew her. Some knew Ashley on a deep, intimate level, while others only knew a part of her. Some were friends, family members, coworkers, and even classmates. Ashley had graduated high school and turned 19 the summer before she was taken from us. She was only still a teenager. Ashley was blessed to have many friends in her life, and each of those friends took something different away from their relationship with Ashley. This is precisely why investigators talk to so many people when they're trying to piece together a victimology. The more perspectives they have, the more information they can ultimately work with. Some stories and details will overlap from friendship to friendship, while other details may remain completely unique. Now let's hear from some of the people who had the pleasure of knowing Ashley, so together we can paint a portrait of who she really was.
When I think of Ashley, I almost think of like having a second daughter. Ashley was very warm-hearted. She was very sweet, always smiling. She'd give anybody, in fact, she did give somebody. He needed a shirt. She went out and bought him a shirt. There was another kid who needed shoes. She bought the boy a pair of shoes. Everybody in the family just adored her because she was so sweet and nice to everybody. And she got along very, very well with other children, especially little ones.
Ashley was strong. Ashley was a strong person. She was very mature for her age. You know, she just seemed years and years older from the way she acted and carried herself. She was a social butterfly, but she didn't throw it in your face, you know? She was just a very smooth conversationalist.
Ashley was somebody that when I first met her, you could just see the fire in her eyes that she wanted to succeed with her life, and she cared most deeply about her family and how other people were doing.
Ashley was a breath of fresh air. Like, you could tell when she walked into the room, she just had something about her that just brightened up your day. And even if you were in a bad mood, she would never let that run on her. She would always stay in a good mood, no matter if, you know, somebody was being mean to her. She just always had a smile on her face. She wouldn't let anything get her down. And that's, I think, what drew me to being friends with her. We happened to be in the same Spanish class. And we kind of just migrated towards each other, started having lunch together.
Ashley was a very bright, fun, loving type of person. She was never scared to do anything. She was really tall for a little girl. She always had that one smile that can literally bright up a room. There were a number of things me and her used to talk about, like the next Harry Potter movie or the next book that's about to come out.
Ashley Love was a classmate of mine at Pius High School. I met her my sophomore year of high school, which would have been her junior year. We had Spanish class together. She was tall. She had long, curly brown hair. And I always remember, like, she'd play with her hair, like, all the time because it was so long and it was thick and it was just different from a lot of people. Ashley had a heart of gold. She was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, even now. She always tried to make you laugh. Ashley was always the kind of person that she just liked to joke around. She was just an overall friendly person. Ashley, she was just a really kind soul. She was crazy and weird, wonderfully weird, but she was just a happy person.
She had a very beautiful smile. I'd say that warmed my heart the most about her is that you could have a not so great day at school, but she would walk by and just flash you that smile. And it gave you a safe feeling, very happy feeling. I would describe Ashley Love as being someone who really wanted to keep to themselves, wasn't very out there and very loud, just, you know, more on the quiet side of things. And she really loved keeping to herself. She didn't need anyone. She was fine alone and didn't really need a lot of people in her circle, and that's what made her cool to me. She wasn't the most popular person in the world, but she was busy doing her own life and her own thing. She was just independent. She didn't need anyone.
She didn't necessarily want people to know how smart she was, and her laugh, when she laughed, was infectious. She could take someone's bad day and make it better with her laugh. She was one of the only people that actually liked me and was nice to me and didn't call me names or make fun of me.
While everybody remembers something different and special about Ashley, only a few of Ashley's friends still vividly remember the look and layout of her room and house. Listen to family friend Joey Clancy as she explains Ashley's room setup. This is no doubt an important thing to understand as we dive even deeper into this case.
I remember the Love's house really well. I have fond memories of spending time in her room, which was a special room in the house because it was up the stairs into this gorgeous attic. I wish I would have had a room like that because it was so neat to me. You would walk up all those steps, and then she had a bulletin board that she would see pretty much when you would get to the last step. She would even put pictures of me and her on there, which always was extra special to me. As you looked around Ashley's room, you saw a teenage girl's room, a girl who was full of life. You saw a lot of pictures of teen heartthrobs of the time. She loved Zac Efron and High School Musical. She loved Taylor Swift. There was wood everywhere because it was the attic. And she always had her bed made up so nice. And then I would look around the room and see if she had new magazine cutout photos of Zac Efron anywhere. A lot of the time when I would spend the night at Ashley's house, we would sit outside in the backyard in a circle around the fire pit. We would assemble s'mores and then we would put them on the fire. And we would tell ghost stories. It was so cool. Their house and just the Love parents, Tammy and Joe, to me as a child, they were just some of the coolest people to be around. It was almost like you could be their friends even though they're grown-ups. They were responsible adults, but they were like so kind and generous and open around me. I don't know how to explain it. It was like I could be friends with them. Some of the times that I would see Ashley and her mother interact, it was almost like Tammy and Ashley, if they weren't mother and daughter, they would be best friends.
In our first episode, I talked about how the Loves are synonymous with Arby's. As you listen to friends and colleagues of Ashley talk, you will quickly begin to understand the impact Ashley had while she was working with a group of people that would almost become like a second family to her.
We were her regular family, and then there was her Arby's family. She just, you know, that was the way she was.
When you think of Ashley, you think of Arby's. Arby's was a big part of her life. She was a hard worker, but she had so much fun working there. She spent a lot of her time working. She had a lot of friends there that she worked with. Ashley wasn't 100% sure about what she wanted to do after high school, but she did often joke about being the CEO at Arby's.
Ashley's passion when it came to Arby's was something deep as a family versus being a place to work. She treated every person in there as a brother or a sister rather than an employee. And it was more on her to make people succeed in the roles that they were doing within their job rather than it was for her to advance herself. She felt like those branches and stuff that was going on there, she felt that her family was heavily invested in that business. And that's how she carried herself, because she cared that much. You could literally rely on her to do anything, and I would always criticize her for almost overworking herself. She was very adamant about making sure other people had the knowledge and the job that we were doing at Arby's, and also how people carry themselves in their own life. Like, there was times that I remember Jessica having some homework problems and stuff like that at work, and Ashley would sit there and they joke around, and she would actually sit there and help Jessica with homework. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever, and you typically wouldn't see that from somebody caring about another individual, especially somewhere like Arby's. She would bring ideas to the table that wouldn't really be selfish ideas, but more so to help somebody else out if they were struggling with a certain task that we were trying to get done. And a lot of the times when it came to mishaps that we had within Arby's, she would take the blame for it when it was never her fault. Just working with her changed everything for me from my managing standpoint, and some of the stuff I learned on how to deal with other individuals I take off from working with her.
I think the thing Ashley loved most about Arby's was just the family feeling aspect of it all. You work with people for so long and for so much time, they start to feel like another family too. And I feel like that's what she loved most about it. And that's why she stayed that whole time at Arby's.
When we would prepare for Black Friday, we would literally get in there because people would order roast beef sandwiches at 5 o'clock in the morning. You're like, what, really? Like, what is going on? You know, there's a Burger King serving breakfast right next door here. And I don't know if she ever left that night. I'm like, did you end up going home at all? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, you still got the same hair tie and everything. Like, did you just like hang out in the food court after the mall closed for 4 hours?
Older lady who used to work at Arby's, her name was Marie. It happened to be her birthday one time. So me, Ashley, and our friend Kayla decided to stay a little late, and we had made her a cake in Arby's after we had closed. Marie ended up loving the cake.
Ashley was the leader. She was mature beyond her years. Everybody always looked to her like she was more of an adult than us. She just seemed to know everything. She seemed to know more than the boss knew. And I think really the only reason she wasn't running someplace was because of her age. Being the new guy and coming in, just looking at her was like, whoa, she really knows what's going on here.
I can't pass an Arby's without at least that being in the back of my mind. I wish she was working at this Arby's. I could go in there right now and say hello. She just wanted to be the Arby's queen and then do other things later.
In our quest to understand Ashley's full victimology, Sean has encouraged us to learn more specifics about Ashley and her social life, both in and outside of school. A burning question on almost everyone's mind is, did Ashley ever talk about any crushes that she had? Julie explains that, well, she did.
She and I used to talk boys, like crushes and, you know, just the normal high school drama, like the high school, like, oh my God, he's so cute. Oh my God, he touched my hand. There was a couple different situations that she had a hard time meeting and talking to guys because she was kind of a shy person. She was kind of quiet. Ashley was one of the people that you had to like push to get to know because she was quiet. But once you got to know her, she was awesome. She was actually very smart. She was always listening to what I had to say. Ashley was always that kind of person. I think Ashley was just a really good listener. I don't remember her being in love. Like, I remember her having a lot of friends, and I remember her working a lot and just getting through school. It's hard to think about the good times when we still don't know what happened to her and why it happened to her. There was a whole life for her that could have been, and she never got that chance. And that, to me, is one of the worst things. I don't think Ashley had the best high school experience. High school is tough.
How was Ashley in school? Who did she talk to? How did she meet her friends and peers? What would Ashley talk about?
Ashley was always a star student. She was all, you know, getting straight A's. And I think she wanted a break from it because she always studied. Ashley always studied hard. And she didn't really want to do that at that time. She just wanted to take a break and, I guess, try to live her life. The first time we met, I was in K-5, and I was visiting St. Philip Neri at the time to see if I would like to go to that school. And she was one of the first kids to come to me, introduce herself, and really wanted to be my friend because I was like super shy at the time. Ashley loved helping people. She never wanted anything negative or anything bad around her aura. Ashley was the centerpiece of our friendship group. She was just always warm. Her aura, her soul was always warm and happy. And she just wanted people like that around. She didn't want anybody fighting around her, anything like that. Ashley wasn't that type of person. As we entered high school, we did talk a lot. We had a better relationship. It just felt like we weren't even friends at that point. It felt like we were actually family.
Ashley and I started a friendship online more so than in person. I saw that on MySpace, she had a picture of Raven Simone from That's So Raven on her wall. And no one in our school really liked That's So Raven. So it was really cool to finally meet someone that went to my school that cared about the show and actually like watching it. So that's how we really bonded off Disney, I would say, Disney Channel. I think both of us being more on the shy side, it was easier to connect in school, going online and finding friends that go to the same school as you, being able to find them and actually start a conversation with less pressure of being in person. I feel like the bond Ashley and I had was because we were both hard workers, and that's how we bonded. We both had our own jobs, and we both liked to work.
As I search for answers from Ashley's family and friends, one thing that has come up in every single conversation is her potential. Ashley had such a bright future on the horizon, and for the past 13 years, she has been missed and remembered every single day.
To lose your best friend is probably the same feeling you would get if you were to lose your grandparents or your sibling. You just tell them so much about your life, and you hang out with them so much and consider them family at some point. It just weighs heavy to know that you'll never see this person again or be able to talk to them again or tell them important things that are happening in your life or their life. I find myself thinking about her probably every day. It weighs on me a good chunk. What I miss most about Ashley would probably be just her energy. She was just an awesome person to be around, and she could make friends no matter where she goes or what she was doing. And a lot of times I wonder, what would she be doing now?
It's hard to put it into words because of how shocking it was. It was shocking. It was like the most shocking thing that ever happened in my life. Every box that you check for being a good person, she checked it. A young girl, an innocent woman who was killed before she really got to dive deep into adulthood. It was stolen from her. She didn't deserve that.
I think a lot of friendships ended after Ashley died. She brought people together, and we all hung out a few times after she had passed, and after that it kind of just slowly dwindled until we just didn't hang out no more, or we didn't talk anymore. It does make me sad because I feel like people shouldn't fall apart just because they're missing one person.
The last day I saw her was on our graduation day, and I didn't get to say goodbye. Ashley and I just started becoming friends. You could tell that the friendship was going in a good direction and that we would have connected outside of high school once graduation was done. I feel like, yeah, she's gonna be somebody. I only got a blink of the eye for her in my life. I just got gypped on bonding and really getting to know her.
That was my best friend, like, I knew for so long, and I'm starting to get emotional here. That part of me just broke, because I also remember me and Ashley were talking about going to see the 6th Harry Potter movie. I remember having this conversation because I remember she ruined it for me. I remember that. Because she read the book. I didn't read it all the way, and she ruined the 6th movie for me. And I just remember us talking about going to see it whenever it came out, and that just never happened. That feeling was horrible. Like, you're expecting whatever best friend or friends you have in childhood. Ashley could have been here right now. She could have been a doctor, a scientist, and had a family, all that kind of stuff. We all could have grew up in different ways. Not only did I just lose a friend, she was the second person that was so important to me that I lost. Who would do something like this to Ashley? And what was the motive?
It was always an adventure with Ashley. There was always something memorable that was bound to happen, because she was just so unique. I mean, I know everybody says that about their friends, but there was never a dull moment. And if there was a dull moment, it's because she wasn't there.
She was sunlight in the darkness for me. I like to think that when we told each other in kindergarten we were always going to be best friends, that she still considered me one at the end. We didn't see each other as much as we used to, but knowing her, I think that she still would have considered me one of them. I remember the last time I talked to her, we didn't physically talk, but we were messaging each other, and she had literally told me that time that she was going to have more time soon to spend with me, and that she wasn't going to be working as much soon. It's hard for me to let go of my teenage self in a way, not that I'm trying to be immature, but I'm afraid of losing that piece of myself that Ashley would have still been able to connect with, because I can't think of her as anything but a teenager, because that's when she left. There are times that I feel like I don't want to go on without her. And then I'll have a dream, but it means so much to me because it's like I'm still able to spend time with her. Love is one of the most powerful, beautiful things that you can feel, and words that there is. So it's very fitting that that is Ashley's last name. She was born into this world, love, and she will always be.
She would have turned out to be a better human than all of us combined. And I say that knowing that from a T, because I had selfish mannerisms back when I worked there, thinking that I was this badass 22-year-old general manager, and she was the most caring out of all of us. And that is what I take with me. That is how I progress through my current job and everything else, is trying to replicate, I'll call it the Ashley effect, on other coworkers that I currently work with. Who's, you don't know what somebody's going through in their life. And something Ashley used to say to many people is she doesn't let outside things affect her while she's at work, because she doesn't know how other people are affected in their lives. So she's not going to let her mood and attitude affect somebody else, because she doesn't know what outcome that would have. That was something she held dearest to her.
I just imagine how my friendship with Ashley would be too. I imagine us like, hey, how's it going? Like, how are you doing today? We should grab dinner this weekend or something, you know, just get together and catch up. I'm glad I still have the picture in my head of who Ashley was, but it's really hard to remember like specific details. I have this picture of who Ashley was, and the memories that I have are now overshadowed by the sadness that I felt when she was taken from us. She was so young. She was 19 years old and she hadn't started her life yet. You're supposed to move on from high school. High school is not supposed to be your whole life, and she never got any of it. It was taken from her. There were so many questions for me and so many things that I figured out since then, and so many things that I've done since I was 19. I graduated high school and went to school and did a whole lot of fun things. My life hasn't been perfect or anything, but I've had a lot of experiences in my life, and it's tough thinking about how she could have been married. Ashley could have been a mom by now. And I think that's one of the hardest parts about the whole thing, is all of the questions about where she would be right now. In October, I think about her death and I think about how much I miss her. I want her family to know Ashley was loved. Ashley was cared about. She had friends and she had a lot of people who really did care about her. And Ashley will never be forgotten. None of I can hold it.
Hearing Ashley's family and friends talk about how much they miss Ashley speaks a lot of the person that she was. But it is no surprise that no one knew Ashley better than her immediate family. Her grandma, Teresa, has some fond memories of special time with her granddaughter.
Ashley loved to bake with me. Whenever I made cookies, she'd say, "Grandma, wait till I get there. I'll help you." She would help me bake cookies, decorate the house. She just used to love to help decorate the house. She just was so sweet. She always had a smile on her face. We'd have our little secret names. I'd call her Ash, and she'd call me Gran. But nobody knew. They were supposed to know that we had secret names. She was just the sweetest girl you could ever meet. I miss her a lot. She meant the world. Like, even now, it's hard to, I don't bake or any of that stuff because too many memories.
Joe, I want to ask you now, when you think of your daughter, what is the first thing that comes to mind? What stories of her do you most remember?
Ashley was always happy, always smiling, laughing all the time. I still remember playing Monopoly. I think it's this table that we're sitting at, with her and Kayla, and she'd go on back and forth with her Dr. Pepper, and all of a sudden her cheeks just explode, and we just sat there laughing for, like, I swear it was an hour. We'd stop and get back to the game, and all of a sudden we looked at each other, and we'd just start laughing again. She was just always laughing and smiling. I remember going to a movie with her. We went to see Hairspray, her choice. And it's like the movie started, the girl gets out of bed, starts singing, and we just look at each other and just start laughing. She had the big belly laugh, so she would just start laughing out loud. She was just happy.
Now, Tammy, I of course wanted to save you for last in this quest to understand Ashley's victimology better. Can you shed a deeper light on who Ashley was, and perhaps most importantly, who is the woman that Ashley was becoming?
My daughter, Ashley, was the most wonderful, amazing girl on earth. She was the best daughter, sister, friend, granddaughter. She impacted so many people that I didn't even realize. She just loved life. If you knew her, to know her was to love her. Ashley was very wise and mature beyond her years. She had just graduated high school, and people thought she was older than she was. I mean, she had just turned 19, had it together. Ashley was emotionally, mentally stable. She had no depression. She was happy, loved, had what she wanted. And had no interest in drugs, wasn't on drugs. Ashley had a very strong moral compass. She didn't like wrong. Growing up, Ashley was kind of like a tomboy. She loved her long hair, but she didn't really care that much about wearing the pretty dresses and that kind of stuff. But as she got older, I noticed that she took more care of her hair, more care of her appearance. I mean, started drinking like water instead of soda. I believe it's because as you get older, ladies get older, girls, you find somebody that you like. And I think she was coming into her own and maturing and getting on to the place where she probably would have found a boyfriend who would have became her husband and she would have had kids. Ashley never really talked about having kids. She never really talked about that, but that didn't surprise me because I, when I was younger, never thought I'd have kids. And look at me. Seriously, I never thought that. I'm like, I'm never going to have kids. As you grow older, it changes. She never spoke about anybody in particular, but being her mother and knowing her and her mannerisms and how she was clearly starting to show interest in boys. And there might have been somebody she was interested in, but no one in particular that I know of. And Ashley was very smart. After high school, Ashley could have went to college. She had a full ride scholarship lined up. But before she went to college, she wanted to have a car. So she was saving up by working, which she loved to work, for a car. She wanted a big car so she could travel with her friends. She loved like going up north or going to different places. And she wanted to take her friends along with her.
As we listened to all the people who knew Ashley, we heard a lot about who she was, from how she looked physically to how she acted and treated others. Let's recap some of the biggest takeaways. 1. Ashley was a friend to all. She was a really good friend, a reliable one, the shoulder to cry on, the person who would always cheer you up. 2. Ashley was a genuinely happy person. Many people talked about her aura and how she constantly strived to keep negativity out of her life. She was a smiley, quirky, giggly, funny person who did not struggle to make friends. 3. Ashley was a workhorse. Arby's was her passion. She didn't join after-school activities because she was all in on Arby's. Her life, for all intents and purposes, revolved around her job at Mayfair Mall. 4. Ashley was a leader. While Ashley was a sweet, dependable girl at school, at work, she was a confident, motivating, and natural-born leader. 5. Ashley's home life was a safe haven, not just for Ashley, but for her friends. People loved coming over for sleepovers and campfires. 6. Ashley and Tammy had a mother-daughter relationship that was so unique. They were truly two peas in a pod. 7. Ashley liked men. This is an important detail. While she didn't enjoy talking about crushes with everyone, she did enjoy gossiping about boys with her classmates in school. And 8. Ashley was losing weight and focusing on her appearance. She talked candidly with many of her friends about her weight struggles and started to lose a noticeable amount of weight in her senior year and beyond. She also started wearing makeup. What more can we learn about Ashley's mysterious love life? Was she really seeing somebody, even in secret? What were Ashley's post-high school aspirations? Did she have dreams beyond working at Arby's? Did Ashley have family aspirations? Did she have a rebellious side? Did Ashley have enemies? While we have learned a lot, we also still have a lot of questions unanswered. There is much to be learned about who Ashley was on a deeper level. One of Ashley's best friends knew her better than almost anybody else. Sadly, she did not respond to my request to talk yet. But her ex-boyfriend and one of Ashley's close colleagues at Arby's did.
When we pulled up and actually saw the thing in real life, it was just kind of surreal thinking that, wow, this guy may have killed somebody, our good friend, in fact. And that truck might have been the getaway vehicle. It was all kind of mind-blowing at the time. It was pretty big adrenaline rush when you're 20, 18, 19 years old, trying to solve your friend's murder, and you feel like you may have had something. Can we go off record on this for a couple minutes?
That is next time on Love and Justice. Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Maddie Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Edited by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. Very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio, Los Angeles. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is a cash reward of $5,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.